All right, time again for Got 'Em, Need 'Em with Sal Berry of PuckJunk.com, Chicago, Illinois. We haven't talked to Sal in a bit. I wanted to wait till the Stanley Cup final was over so we knew who the cup champions were. This is our final show of the 10-11 season. So let's deal with it, Sal. The Boston Bruins are the Stanley Cup champions the season after your Blackhawks did it. Another original six team. We haven't won in a while. Any paraphernalia cards out there already for the Bruins?
Finally, yeah. Well, they gave out some cards at the games, from what I understand, like packs of cards that had different Bruins players.
Yep.
And I think even like some cards from like the last year's Cup games, because somebody sent me a picture of a Patrick Kane card, and they're like, "Hey, this was given out at the Bruins game. Do you want it?" I'm like, "Yeah, that looks pretty cool." So they did do something like that as a giveaway, but Upper Deck is also producing a set of Boston Bruins, a commemorative Stanley Cup set of 31 cards.
Okay, and what does it look like? Is it nice?
I haven't seen any pictures.
Okay.
For another 4 weeks.
What are they like in the past?
Pre-orders for the product.
Okay, what are they like in the past when a team wins a cup? What are those cards like?
I don't know. You know, they haven't really done that for Stanley Cup. I remember in the 90s, Pro Set used to do that for the Super Bowl. They would do a set of the two Super Bowl teams. They would do a card of each player and then cards about the game, and it was like a 150-card set. And I always thought those were really sweet. I thought that was a really sweet idea to take
right. A
really important event in the history of that sport and make a card set dedicated to it. This, there are no pictures of it yet. I imagine it'll probably look like your typical Upper Deck Victory or MVP type set. You know, it'll probably have an action photo on the front, headshot on the back, and then something about the player in the series, what they did. It's going to actually feature 25 player cards. I don't know if 25 different Bruins suited up for the final. Well, they probably used 25 guys for the playoffs if you count all the injuries and stuff.
Right. Okay, well, the box looks nice.
Pardon?
Well, the box looks nice.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, as long as the box looks nice, right? It doesn't matter what's inside the box. So.
Now, these kind of things, do they appreciate in value over the years, or is it just specifically for collectors of that team?
I think it would be pretty much for collectors of that team, and the reason is that the set is $20, and you only get 31 cards for that price, 20 plus shipping. The other five, there are five cards of season highlights and then one card of the Bruins celebrating with the cup.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, if you're really excited about the Bruins, like some of the other bloggers I've talked to, of course, the Bruins fans are like, heck yeah, I'm going to buy this set. And
sure.
Most of the other people are like, you know, $20 for 30 cards or 31 cards is kind of steep, especially without seeing what they look like first.
But you're picking up a couple, aren't you?
I'll probably pick up one set just because I think it's such a neat idea. I'm really disappointed they didn't do one for the Blackhawks last year, though. Especially given how big, you know, Chicago is. It's like the third or fourth largest, city in the U.S. And I thought they would have done something like that, and they didn't.
Yeah, I'm surprised, too. Maybe this becomes a regular thing as of now, but maybe it depends on the market. You would think the Blackhawks would be a no-brainer for that sort of thing. Okay, so people, keep your eyes out for that. That's why I wanted to get Sal on after the Cup Final, because I knew there had to be some sort of card product that was going to be shipped. Now, just quickly looking ahead before we move on to our next topic here, Sal. When the new sets come out for the 11-12 season, as they come out in various months in the fall, how do the sets usually commemorate the Stanley Cup champion? What do we look forward to in all the different sets that will come out in September, October, or whatever? What kind of cards should there be for the Bruins winning the Cup?
I think the only sets, Panini did that with their score set. They did like a subset of season highlight cards, because this year's score set had, you know, a shot of Marian Hossa with the cup, Jonathan Toews winning the MVP award,
right.
The Blackhawks gathered around the cup. They even had a card of Brent Sopel, because he took the cup to the Gay Pride Parade in Chicago, and that was actually a pretty big deal. So that set does it, but like a lot of the sets, the more, I don't say more mainstream, because score is pretty mainstream, but like Victory, Upper Deck, MVP, they pretty much are player cards and nothing else. No trophy cards, no Stanley Cup winner cards. So I would say that score will probably do something like that next year.
I like trophy cards. I like playoff series cards. I like that stuff.
Yeah, I do too, and we've talked about this before, but I think now that...
Well, we're going to talk about it again. Remember, not everyone listens to every show, so...
No, just me.
How dare them, yes.
No, but I think now with information being so readily available, maybe the card companies don't see a point in it. I mean, what would you rather get, a card of your favorite player or the Selke Trophy winner?
Me, the trophy winner, so don't ask me.
Oh, okay.
I've got enough
well,
of my favorite players. I think there should at least be a card showing Zdeno Chara hoisting the cup or something. I just
think it
adds class to the set.
Heck, that should be on the box of next year's Upper Deck hockey cards instead of another picture of Crosby or Ovechkin.
Good point. I like that. Okay, another topic we talk about here with Sal Berry, we don't always talk about the value of cards. We talk more of the aesthetic value, the whole idea of collecting, how to store the cards. We've been all over the place in the 2+ years that we've had Sal on the War Room talking about hockey cards. The great, great hockey card industry out there and the hobby of collecting cards. However you do it, if you just do it as a hobby or you're trying to make a little money on the side, it's trickier now, but it can be done. One thing I do want to touch upon, we brought this up and you're ready to dive into it. You've got it on your website right now at puckjunk.com, is graded cards. I've never bought a graded card. I've seen them. I've got some pretty good cards myself. For example, I've got a Gretzky rookie I pulled from the pack from O'Peachy back in 79 or I guess early 1980, whenever I finally bought the pack. I know it's real. I put it aside right away back then. Though it was harder to get stuff to collect cards, to the protector cases back in 1980. It's in fine condition. Though over the years, has it held up? Yeah, sure. I never put it in my bicycle spokes. I was too old anyhow. But I've never had it graded. I've never had any cards graded. I'm curious about that entire phenomena. You sort of take it to task on your website, which is great. It's a lot of fun. But before you get into that, just explain to people, what do we mean when we talk about graded hockey cards?
Okay, well, there are different companies. Beckett is one of them. There's PSA, there's another one, I forget, SCG, I think.
Okay.
There's a couple other ones, KSA. And what you do is you send them the card, and then they assign the card a numeric grade on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect. And most cards don't get that that grade, although that I think that Gretzky that was...
The $94,000 card?
The $94,000 was a PSA... And it was rated 10. And then there's even some argument like, well, you know, a PSA 10 would only get a 9 from Beckett grading or whatever.
Oh, it's like boxing. Okay, all the different belts. Okay.
But basically what they do is they take the card and they put it in a kind of a thick holder. It's about a quarter-inch thick holder. And then at the top there's a sticker that gives the name of the set, the name of the card, the... grade that it received, and then like an internal database number, because you know they track these, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they actually like, okay, so one of the cards, well, I'll get to that, the cards I sent in a minute, but then they'll also give the different, like what the centering got, what the edges got, what the corners
sure.
got, what the surface got. And this is the Beckett in particular, because they're the only grading service I've dealt with. What I did was, I mean, we talked about this subject last year. We talked about the subject earlier in the season. And, you know, I figured it was, I don't want to say wrong of me, but I wanted to have a more solid opinion of it. So I decided to get a couple cards graded. Of course, an influencing factor in that was that Beckett sent me a coupon for 2 free card gradings. Of course, that's just for the card grading. I still had to pay for the postage there, the postage back, and the insurance. So even with the $11 per card taken off for the grading fee, it still cost me about $30 to get these 2 cards.
Okay, let me stop you right there. So, who in their right mind wants to pay money to send in your card to someone you don't know so they can look at it and put their greasy hands or whatever they wear, their white gloves all over it, so they can grade it and put it in plastic and send it back to you? What is the advantage to that, unless you're looking to have it proven by an industry leader that it's a near-mint card so that you can turn around and sell it? Why else would you want to do that? I don't want to let someone else – I don't want to put my card in the mail. Why would anyone go through that process?
Well, I think, one, you said it, to prove – well, to get a grade on it so that they could turn around and resell it.
Yeah.
And one thing that bothers me a little bit – and, again, I'm just using Beckett as the example because they're the only one I've dealt with and really looked into extensively.
Right.
They charge you more depending on how fast you want that card
sure.
sent back to you. Like, there's like a two-day – let's see. Two-day – like, to get one card graded in 2 days would be $26. If you could wait 20 days, then it's $11.
What if the card isn't even worth that much?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
First,
what a joke.
Well, no, but I mean, like, if you pulled something,
say
you pulled a Sidney Crosby autograph patch card.
Yeah, okay, I understand that, sure.
So then you say, okay, I want to get this on eBay as quick as possible, but first I want to get it graded so that people know it's authentic. that it's not a forged autograph, that it is a mint card or whatever.
I understood.
I mean, I don't really buy into that.
Neither do I.
Now, some of the people I've talked to like graded cards for two reasons. One is because they know it's not counterfeit.
I understand that, especially with the Gretzky's that were all counterfeited, sure.
And then two, because then they know, you know, what's a mint card to you? What's a mint card to me?
That's right.
Near mint card. So, like, okay, for instance, I got this James Van Riemsdyk rookie card graded, and it says 9.5, gem mint. So if I tell you this card is in really good shape, you believe me maybe a little bit more because it has that number assigned to it.
No, and I follow all that. And there's and people want to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But my interest in cards, which goes back a long time, and I just no interest in doing that. I just can't get over the fact that you're going to send somebody your card that you don't know. I'm sure they're all above board people who are doing this, the organizations that they depend on reliability and being legitimate. I'm not calling into doubt. That's right. I'm not calling that into doubt. It's just like almost like sending my kid. I'm pushing it, I understand. But sending my kids to someone I've read about but I've never really met and I'm sure it's going to be fine. And I just think too much can go wrong in that process. I don't think I would do it. Now, if I was to go somewhere like to a card show, this probably doesn't happen, and someone were to do it and I were to pay through the nose for it there so they could do it, I could understand that because I'm watching the process. Because
right.
Once they get the card sale, once they actually get around to getting to your Sidney Crosby signed card, it can't take them more than 5 minutes to ascertain its judgment, right? They don't have to put it through, like, the combines. It doesn't go through a test. They look for certain factors on a card. And so the edges, the corners, the cut, the centering, the color, discolorization, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, and it's funny. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I can't see why it would take so long unless they have such a backlog of cards.
That's the only thing that would delay would be the backlog. Actually, looking at the card, that should take no more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder, like, I was musing about this Van Riemsdyk card, just to give you a little little background. Last year's Fleer Ultra product, I pulled a redemption card. It was for an Ice Medallion rookie limited to 25. So I send it in. I get back a James Van Riemsdyk Fleer Ultra rookie, and it was numbered 1 out of 25. And I said, well, this is a pretty cool card because not only is it limited to 25, but mine is serial numbered 1 out of 25. So I figured, all right, I'll send in this card to get graded. Now, literally, I took it, I mean, Upper Deck sent it to me, and I basically turned around and sent it to Beckett. And they gave the corners a 9 rating, and I'm wondering how the heck that was even possible, because the thing was always in a card holder. I mean, it went from the factory to me to Beckett, back to me. And so sometimes I wonder if they take, like, one of those D&D dice and just roll it and say, oh, okay, it gets an 8.5 on the centering or something.
Right. Now, I guess, are there any guarantees about postage in that? What if it gets there in a mangled position? Who's responsible for that?
You actually have to pay for insurance on your order.
Yeah, you know what? I can't be convinced to do this. I'll tell you why, Sal. If the car's not worth much, why would I do it? And if it's worth a lot, it's not leaving my hands.
See, and that's the thing that I find really funny. I'll go to a show and I'll see, like, a dealer will have, like, a stack of, say, like, 1977-78 Topps Commons graded. And it'll all be, like, 9.5. And I want, like, $10-$12 a piece for them. Now, they probably sent them at a bulk rate and got them graded for,
sure,
you know, maybe $5 a piece. And not, you know, when you send a lot at once, it really costs a lot less per card.
Sure.
But I look and I go, oh, okay, why, I mean, unless you were a really big fan of that player, I mean, I couldn't see spending $10 on a graded card of a nobody. But there are some people who want to do that. Like, especially like with, believe it or not, Opeachy Premier. I remember reading an article.
Remember how hot that set was, yep.
I remember reading an article saying how it's like the first set to have, like, basically to have, like, somebody basically put together a set of graded cards and they were all graded gem mint.
Okay.
And I go, well, yeah, that's kind of cool, but so are the ones that I pulled from the packs 20 years ago. So I don't know. Like I said, it's a preference thing. It's also like if you were buying, like, say if you were buying a really old card, like a Georges Vezina rookie.
Yeah.
Would you maybe pay a little more for the graded
card? Is there a George Vezina rookie? Is there a rookie? I mean, they didn't make cards back then, did they? Occasionally they did, right?
Yeah, man, to keep the cigarettes straight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely.
The tobacco cards.
Yeah, that's where it all came from with baseball. Yeah, but Vezina rookie, yeah, I think, why would you ever want to let that even go out of your safety deposit box, I would think. But all right. All right, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any fake ones now? Do people do fake grading? Because there's always scamsters in every industry. We know there's counterfeit cards. Counterfeit Gretzky and the Brett Hall rookie were two that come to mind. Does anyone do any fake grading? Just because someone says, I go to a show and say it's an unscrupulous dealer, and hopefully there's not many of those, but I'm sure there's some. How do I know that it's graded properly? Just because someone slaps plastic on it and puts a sticker on it and says it's graded, how do I know that's for real?
I think it has to do with the reputation of the company that you're getting it graded from. Somebody actually, what was it? It was the dealer that I frequent, the card show by my house.
Yep.
A card show, card shop by my house. And the, what did he have? It was a fake Gretzky rookie, and it was in like a flimsy top holder, and it had a sticker across it that said that it was like graded 9.5 mint by XYZ card grading company.
Yep.
And I was just like, okay, never heard of it. And also, it just looked kind of, the whole thing looked janky.
So those things do exist.
The guy knew that it was a counterfeit, and he told me. He goes, oh, yeah, somebody brought this into the shop and asked me, is this real? And I told him no. And the guy's just like, well, I don't want it then. So, I mean,
right.
He just had it in the case as a fake for a couple of dollars. And it's even funny because fake cards will even sell these days.
Okay, we're running out of time here. So much to talk about. All season long in the war room with Sal Berry of PuckJunk.com. Check it out. Good stuff on his website. He gets into more detail. I got two things to ask you to finish off the season, Sal.
Sure.
One has to do with the card show in Chicago. We'll save that second. But first I want to ask you, maybe you've asked this before, the Gretzky rookie card that you've got as an example on your website that I've got. I've got the Opeachy one. He's looking up at the score clock in the old Oilers uniform from 79-80. What arena was that taken in? Because back then I remember the pictures were taken in St. Louis in the early 70s. Then it seemed all the pictures were taken in Washington. Any idea what arena that's in?
On the Gretzky rookie card?
Yeah.
Well, that's from the WHA.
So it's a WHA shot they then posted onto his first NHL rookie card. So what arena is that in then?
I don't know because I'm not that knowledgeable on that.
And I can't make up the crowd. Someone's got a white sweater on. Someone's got a jersey. If you look where he's looking up over his head in the crowd, someone's got a jersey on, but I can't make it out. There's my trivia question to people. I want to know what WHA arena was that picture taken in? Because it wouldn't have been in Edmonton because he's wearing the away uniform at that point, unless they had swapped jersey night. All right. Well, there's only so many arenas. They had seven teams in their last year, maybe? So you've got six arenas.
Like seven teams.
All right. It's just something I've always wondered, and now you've got the picture on your website. Okay. To finish off, you got a couple of minutes. Tell us about what's coming up, the big card show in the summer.
Yeah, it's like August 3rd to, I believe, August 7th. The National Sports Card Convention is coming to Chicago. It's usually in a different host city every year.
Okay.
I went to it in 2008. It was a pretty big it's a big show. It's supposed to be the biggest card show in the country.
Right.
I went to it a couple years ago. I guess I wasn't super, super impressed by it because it was a lot to take in one day. So I just kind of walked around and I spent most of the day just stopping at every single table. And there's a show, Chicago has a big card show in March and in November, sponsored by the Sun-Times newspaper. And so this was just like that Sun-Times show, but twice as big. But this year I'm going to go and actually try to go for like maybe all 4 or 5 days, because a lot of the companies do like wrapper redemptions where you like buy packs of cards, open them in front of their booth, and they'll give you like some exclusive cards that you can only get at the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go to this. Normally every summer I go to the Blackhawk Convention. I think I'm going to skip it this year. That's another thing. I mean, I'm not aware of other teams doing conventions. Do you know of any?
I think a couple do, yes, particularly in the States, yes.
Really? Like hockey teams?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think
one?
There's a few. I think Chicago is, I don't know, but I think Chicago is the most notable one. But there's some gatherings. I don't know, did Carolina do one? There's another team that did something
like Carolina that. Yeah, Carolina did do one this year. You're right. But Chicago, I think, was the first one to do one.
Yeah, the big one, yeah.
And that's because the president of the team used to work for the Cubs. And
yeah, John McDonough,
Cubs convention every year, and that was really popular.
So yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good idea to do.
Yeah, but I think this year I'm going to skip that because, you know, I mean, sure, the panels are fun, and waiting in line for autographs isn't fun, and I don't know, there's only very few people selling hockey cards, and so I think I'm going to just take the money that I would have spent at that and go to this national convention. So hopefully when we talk again in the fall, I can tell you about all the great stuff I found.
Okay, good stuff. We got to go on that sale. Good talking to you this season, 10-11 season. People can follow you all summer on puckjunk.com. It's Gotham Needham with Sal. We'll talk to you in the fall, hopefully,
sir. All right, take care.